Inside Out and Back Again, reading assignment number 8, pages 91 through 111. Part 2. A kiss. The horn on our ship blows and blows, waking everyone from a week-long nap. A sure answer, honk, honk, seems close enough and real enough to call everyone on deck. A gigantic ship with an American flag moves closer. Men in white uniform wave and smile. Our commander wears his navy jacket and hat so white and so crisp. Now I realize why I like him so much. In uniform, he looks just like Father. He boards the other ship, salutes, and shakes hands with a man whose hair grows on his face, not on his head, in the color of flames. I had not known such hair was possible. We clap and clap as the ships draw together and kiss. Boxes and boxes pass onto our deck. Oranges, apples, bananas, cold, sweet, bubbly drinks, chocolate drops, fruity gum. The American ship tows ours with a steel braid, thick as my body. Our rescue, now certain, the party blossoms as food suddenly comes up from below. Ramen noodles, beef jerky, dried shrimp, butter biscuits, tamarind pods, canned fish, and drums of real water. Mother says, people share when they know they have escaped hunger. Shouldn't people share because there is hunger? That night I stand behind blowing blankets and pour fresh water all over my skin. How sweet water tastes, even when mixed with soap. May 24th. Golden Fuzz. Water. Water still everywhere, but in the distance appears a black dot. We are told to pack our crisscross packs and line up in a single file. 20 at a time, board the motorboat heading toward the dot. An arm extends to help us board, an arm hairy with fuzz. I touch it. So real and long, not knowing if I will have another chance to touch golden fuzz. I pluck one hair. Mother slaps my hand. Brother Kwong speaks quickly in the language I must learn. The fuzzy man laughs. I'm grateful the boat starts to rock, so Mother hasn't the composure to scold me, not just yet. I roll my fuzzy souvenir between my thumb and finger and can't help but smile. May 26th. Tent City. We have landed on an island called Guam, which no one can pronounce except Brother Kwong, who becomes translator for all. Many others arrive before us and are living in green tents and sleeping on cots. We eat inside a huge tent where Brother Vu becomes head chef, heating up cans of beef and potatoes, tasting like salty vomit. We eat only canned fruit and thick syrup, and everyone wants extras, but we get only a cup. Brother Vu somehow brings home a huge can, pumping it to work out his arm muscles. We eat straight from the can as I search for cherries and grapes. May 28th. Life in waiting. A routine starts as soon as we settle into our tent. Camp workers teach us English, mornings and afternoons. Evenings we have to ourselves. We watch movies outdoors with images projected onto a white sheet. Brother Kwong translates into a microphone, his voice sad and slow. If it's a young cowboy like Clint Eastwood, everyone cheers. If it's an old cowboy like John Wayne, most of us boo and go swimming. The Disney cartoons lure out the girls who always surround Brother Vu, begging him to break yet another piece of wood. I can still hear them begging when I go sit with Brother Koi, who rarely speaks anymore, but I'm happy to be near him. Nuak Mam. Someone should be kissed for having the heart to send cases of fish sauce to Guam. Everything is more edible with Nuak Mam. Brother Vu sautés the beef and potato goo with onions and sprinkles on the magic sauce before serving the mess with rice. Lines extend to the beach. Someone catches a sea creature, puffy and watery like a cucumber. Brother Vu slices it into slippery strips and stews it with seaweed in the magic sauce. So many appetites wake up that Brother Vu just has time to cook rice and serve it with plain fish sauce. People begin to cook as long as they can get a cup of Nuak Mam. Brother Koi hands it out in the same white cups as tea. Both dark brown, so of course I drink a gulp of the most salty, most bitter, most fishy tea ever. My head whirls and my breath stinks for days. I do not mind. July 1st. Amethyst ring. Mother wants to sell the amethyst ring Father brought back from America where he trained in the Navy before I was born. She wants to buy needles and thread, fabric and sandals from the camp's black market. I've never seen her without this purple rock. I can't fall asleep unless I twist the ring in countless circles. Brother Kwong says, no, What's the point of new shirt and sandals if you lose the last tangible remnant of love? I don't understand what he said, but I agree. July 2nd. Choose. Some choose to go to France because many Vietnamese moved there when North and South divided years ago. Uncle Son says come with his family to Canada where his sister lives and can help watch over us until father returns. Mother knows his wife wouldn't mind. She tells him Canada's too cold. We stand in line to fill out papers. Every family must decide by tonight when fireworks will explode in honor of America's birth. Mother starts to write Paris, home of a cousin she has never met. The man behind us whispers, choose America. More opportunities there, especially for a family with boys ready to work. Mother whispers back, my sons must first go to college. If they're smart, America will give them scholarships. Mother chooses. July 4th. Another tense city. We are flown to another tense city in humid, hot Florida where alligators are shown as entertainment. The people in charge bring in Saigon famous singers to raise refugee spirits, but faces keep twisting with worries. For a family to leave, an American must come to camp and sponsor a family. We wait and wait, but mother says a possible widow, three boys, and a pouty girl make too huge a family by American standards. A family of three in the tent to our left gets sponsored to Georgia. The couple to our right goes to South Carolina. Newcomers leave before us. Mother can barely eat while Brother Quang picks the skin at his elbows. I don't mind being here. My hair is growing as I've become dark and strong from running and swimming. Then by chance, Mother learns sponsors prefer those whose applications say Christians. Just like that, Mother amends our faith, saying all beliefs are pretty much the same. July to early August. Alabama. A man comes who owns a store that sells cars and wants to train one young man to be a mechanic. He keeps holding up one finger before picking Brother Quang, who studies in engineering, impress him. Mother doesn't care what the man came looking for. By the time she is done staring, blinking, wiping away tears, all without speaking English, our entire family has a sponsor to Alabama. August 7th. Our cowboy. Our sponsor looks just like an American should. Tall and pig-bellied. Black cowboy hat, tan cowboy boots, cigar smoking, teeth shining, red in face, golden in hair. I love him immediately and imagine him to be good-hearted and loud and the owner of a horse. August 8th. That's the end of part 2 and the end of reading assignment number 8.